Welcome to Coffee Side Chats. I'm Janelle.
And I'm Malik.
And this is the podcast about anything and everything that two friends would talk about over a cup of coffee, even when they're separated by over 1,000 miles. I don't remember our actual intro tag, but that's going to suffice for today.
Hey, that's close enough.
That's the gist. I might be off by like a little word in the order or something, but you know what I mean.
It's totally natural. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
All right. So what are you drinking today?
I'm drinking Everyday Essentials, which is one of those like brands that everybody has. And then they just put their own brand over it, I think. I don't know. It might be a Costco thing. I'm not sure. But it's a hazelnut cream. I'm a sucker for hazelnut everything. But I did it in my pour over and I didn't do it exactly right. And I don't know what I did exactly wrong. It might also be that the beads are a little bit old. So it's a little bitter, but you can taste the hazelnut. And like I said, I'm a sucker for hazelnut. So I'm enjoying it. And I'm enjoying practicing using my pour over because I forget quite a bit. What are you drinking today?
I am drinking, this one is called Snow Day. I think it's called Snow Day. But it's from Ground and Hound. It's the coffee subscription I'm using right now as part of a, I mean, I've been using it for like a month now, so I guess it's a little more than a trial. But so their whole thing is for every bag of coffee you buy, they donate to an animal shelter for food and, you know, treats and toys and all that kind of stuff. So I was like, all right, give them a shot. They had good reviews. And I've been using the Roaster's Choice. So they just send me a random bag. So far, they've been pretty good. This is a medium dark roast, which is surprisingly good because normally I don't like my coffee like that, but it's been pretty good so far. So happy.
So this is episode 2 of our series about stigmas. And I think we promised you guys we were going to talk about something different this week, but we talked about it and decided that we would go a different direction. So Malik, what are we talking about today?
So we're going to talk about the stigmas around homelessness, which, yeah, we said we were going to go heavier the next when we came back. So, you know, here we go.
We did keep that promise. This is one of those topics that I have to work really hard to not get angry about every time it comes up. This is something I've been kind of involved in since 2016, give or take. And yeah, so I have to kind of bite my tongue a little bit when it comes up. So otherwise I will just push everybody off. But yeah, one of the things I actually want to talk about first is the way we refer to people experiencing homelessness. I learned in like 2017 or 2018 that from a nonprofit that they refer to them with person first language. And we call them people experiencing homelessness, which is a really long term to refer to somebody, but that's how I always do it. Yeah, what are other words that we use to call those people, call people experiencing homelessness?
Versus just being like, where somebody's like, oh, that homeless person or the homeless, like as in like they're a unified body of people. It's not really how that goes, right?
That one makes me the most upset. I'm like, the homeless. They're not an organization.
Right.
The unhoused. I've heard that one quite a bit, which I don't love, but I'm like, okay, that.
But at least it's an appropriate descriptor of what's going on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it kind of shifts your perspective a little bit. It makes you think about it more because you've heard homeless so much that you just have this connotative definition of it. And so it just brings up a very specific picture of this is what homeless people look like. But yeah, with unhoused, you have to think like, oh, it's somebody without a house, which is exactly what homeless is. It's the same word. It's just a synonym.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, as we've been kind of looking at this, it kind of started making me more irritable when people call it like the homeless problem versus homelessness, which is a completely different thing. Like the people who are actually unhoused, like it's like that's not you know, they are not a problem. The condition is. So it's a big, like, guys, they're not like, you know, it's not like they're not like a infestation. Like, it's like, that's
exactly what I was thinking. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people see it that way of, they see it like bugs or a pest problem. Like, no, they're humans that are in a situation that you may or may not have ever experienced. And they're trying their best, whatever that looks like. And maybe that's not what you would do if you were in that situation, but it's not you. It's another person with feelings and a story who was trying their best. The ones that just drive me nuts are bums, hobos, and those people.
Oh, no.
Or the people downtown or the people in the park. Or I think more recently I've been hearing not quite exactly tent dwellers or the people in the tents, but I've heard just like reference to the tents in the park without referencing the people in the tents who are forced to live in the park.
Yep. It's as we're kind of going to look at, there's a lot of just like bad view of point of those, like of those people, as if like they're just lazy or they don't care or they're just dirt. It's like, that's, I like to think about it, like if I was homeless, would I want people to think I'm just lazy and dirty and don't care? Like if I was homeless, you would want to be trying to get out of that situation. So why would they be no different? Right.
Yeah, that's a real empathy practice of, if I was in your situation, and really putting yourself in their shoes, even in a very surface level way, just to say, how would I want people to treat me? Yeah, I think everybody needs to practice that more. I don't remember where I read this or just heard people say this, but a lot of people just on the street get a lot of hate and a lot of violence towards them, or just people pretend they don't exist. And so I've heard them say, like in my conversation with people experiencing homelessness, they have told me like, we just want people to recognize us and just see that there is a person sitting there. So I try, even though I'm a girl walking around by myself, I try really hard to just acknowledge that there is a human there and smile on them or say have a good day or treat them like literally anybody else walking around town. Because maybe I could be there. It's such a small step between where I am and homelessness.
Yep.
It would not take much to push anybody over.
And that whole thought process kind of leads into one of the articles we found about the myths of homelessness and, you know, the whole idea that they're dangerous and violent. And it's like, no, it's more likely that homeless people experience or victims of violence and actually go out and like commit violent acts. It's way more rare for a person who's homeless to just go out and do something violent. That's not self-defense, from, you know, a lot of studies I've looked at. So.
Honestly, though, if people experiencing homelessness were more likely to be perpetrators of violence, which the myth, that is a myth, but if they were, I wouldn't really blame them. Because when you spend all of your effort trying to make sure you have food and a place to stay, and people are just looking down on you and giving you a hard time, and you are not allowed to sit in the park, you're not allowed to spend more than a couple minutes in a store without somebody giving you a hard time, and people like run away from you, I think it's kind of reasonable to be cranky and maybe get upset with people and yell at them or like whatever it is. Still not super justifiable, but like way more reasonable for them to yell at somebody than for me when I have a roof over my head, food on my table, a job to go to that pays for all these things, and people who look at me, acknowledge me, and smile at me. But again, yeah, that's a myth. Because what does it say here? This article is so good, guys. We're going to share it on our Facebook page and stuff, because great. Any violence by homeless persons is either self-defense or due to the rare violent perpetrator who preys on other homeless people. Non-homeless people need to understand this. They're far more likely to be the victims than the perpetrators, which, like, makes so much more sense. It's just all so good, and it's all, like, this is exactly the article that speaks to the whole podcast, the whole stigma around homelessness. Because this is where the stigmas come from, right? Of people believe these myths, so then they treat people experiencing homelessness differently or talk about them differently because of these myths that we believe.
Yeah. Like on this list, number 5, bad choices led to their homelessness. And underneath it says everyone makes mistakes, but the descent into homelessness is not necessarily the direct result of choices. Far more often, sudden illness or an accident, losing a job or falling into debts leads to eviction, or doubling up with a family or friend becomes untenable. Like the fact that it's like, no one is really going out and choosing to be homeless. But when accidents and illnesses like come up, especially the way, you know, a lot of people live close to the edge anyway, it could just completely tip everything over. Just like you were saying, it's a half step between everything being great and everything being terrible.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't say falling into a sudden illness and an accident and losing a job and falling into debt and leading to eviction. It says, or one of these things could lead to you becoming homeless, especially with how bad rent is right now. And maybe it's always been this bad. Like I've only been renting for 6 years, 7 years. But it's expensive.
Yep. And you know, that ties right into the other article we found about like the why are people homeless, and the housing cost is such a big deal. When, you know, in 2017, they were like the average wage someone needs to make is $21.21. And right now the minimum wage is $7.25. The average wage is $6.38, but that's still $5 less than you need to make an hour. Not to mention, if you're working minimum wage, it's $14 difference. Like, yeah, like renting is so expensive. Yeah, guys, we're going to put the links in on our social media so everyone can kind of go through them and see them. Because there's so many like little nuggets in here. It's great. So
many.
Yeah, it's just the fact that, you know, and even if you're making the average wage, that's still not enough. Even average is enough to be comfortable. That's how that falling into debts part can happen really fast.
Okay. It says the National Low Income Housing Coalition estimates that the 2017 housing wage, what is a housing wage? Okay. So that's the housing wage is the hourly wage a full-time worker must earn to afford a modest rental home while spending no more than 30% of his or her income on rent and utilities.
So yeah, that's just living, just doing your basic, just basically living. How much you need to make to just.
That's living and not being, what are those words? It's like rent burdened.
But think about it, that's shocking.
Ooh, can we read out the number? So in every other year, every even year, the Department of Housing and Urban Development does what's called a point in time count. And some cities do it every year, but it's only required every other year. And in 2018, they found out there are 553,000 people across the country experiencing homelessness, which is, according to this article from Futurity, is about the same number as the entire population of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Not a little city, not a little town, like a big city. That's absurd.
That is a lot. And then what's this, in 2019, the article that on the state of homelessness, yeah, there is up to 568,000 people. Just an incredibly large number of people. and a lot of them are unsheltered, like, which is like, there's nowhere for them to go at night to even have a chance of not being outside, you know?
That always makes me so sad. I was thinking about that earlier today of, as far as I know, there is not any organization that counts how many people die of cold on the street on any given day or on any given year. But like, it gets to freezing degrees and your only option is to sleep in a park. And maybe you have a sleeping bag, but maybe it was stolen, or maybe somebody threw it away while they were doing a park cleanup. Are you going to survive that? How many people die from that every year? I have no idea, and nobody talks about it. And I'm like, am I barking up a tree that doesn't have anything in it?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think, like, when they do those park raids and like do park cleanups, hey, you guys got to get out of here. It's like, but then there's nowhere for them to go. So you just want to move one set of homeless people to another area. And then you wait, you know, a couple of weeks or a month and you kick them out of that area too. You know, it's like, what's the point in all of that? When it's like, it would be better to just work on getting them housing. It seemed like that would be a better solution.
Yeah. Again, it's like people don't see people experiencing homelessness as people. They see them as pests. We're like, oh, you just need to get out. But yeah, there's nowhere for them to go.
Yeah. That's the one thing that always bugs me when people are just like, oh yeah, they just need to get a job. They're just lazy, whatever. And it's like, what? And the thing is, a lot of people do actually that are homeless do have jobs. But if you can't afford to pay rent, or, you know, you got medical bills or whatever, you're just trying to get day to day to food. And then, you know, you get beat on and talked bad to because, you know, you don't smell right or whatever, when it's like, there's nowhere for them to shower consistently. So what do you expect, you know, to be going on with that? So it's...
Also, kind of sort of unrelated, but if you don't have a house, where are you supposed to get your mail? And the post office will do a like hold for, and so you can get mail delivered to the post office and then just go pick it up whenever. But if you don't have an address when you're filling out a job application, they're going to think you don't know how to fill out a job application, or they're not going to trust that you're reliable, even if you are. So like, just not having an address is such a big problem for people experiencing homelessness too. And then with stimulus checks coming out, if you are eligible for it, but you don't have anywhere to receive it.
Yep. Don't have an active bank account, maybe, you know.
Mm-hmm. Because so many things you need an address for. Just an address, not even somewhere to stay, just an address. And even that becomes just one more barrier that keeps people where they are.
One of the things on this 12 myths list, the myth that homeless are not part of our community. When I went back and looked, there were like 70 to 80% of the people who are homeless lived in that area in a house or in an apartment for a year or more before becoming unhoused. Like, that's like, no, these people were your neighbors. You know, there are people who something happened, they fell on hard times, and a lot of times just need a little bit of assistance, not they're a drain on society. Like so many people act.
Mm-hmm. I listened to a podcast recently where they talked to somebody who worked at, a homelessness hotline in San Francisco or something. And the lady answering the phone got a call and she was like, this voice sounds familiar. And it was her cousin. And I was like,
oh my God.
Like, it's not just, oh, maybe the person at the end of the street got kicked out and maybe I would recognize them if they were living in a park or not, but it's like my cousin is defined as chronically homeless or extremely homeless and needs all of the services that are so limited.
And my
cousin.
And there's such a stigma about it that no one will even tell anybody else. So your cousin who you know, if you recognize their voice, you probably are at least somewhat close to that person and they didn't even tell you. It's like, so to be surprised to find out like, wait, like I know you, like you're my family and you didn't reach out or didn't say anything, or because a lot of people, you know, just too embarrassed to say anything, or, you know, it's like, that is dramatic to think about. It's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. And because we live in a culture that's so much like, you got to take care of yourself. And sometimes you can't, like life is hard. And sometimes stuff happens that you just have no control over. And so when you hit that rock bottom and everybody your whole life has been telling you to pick yourself up by your bootstraps and you don't feel like you can reach out to your family or you don't want to be a burden to them. Yeah. Our community, our family, living out on the streets, and we either don't know about it or aren't willing to help with it. What did you say earlier about people would rather be unhoused, die on the street, than have to pay for their housing? How did you say that? Will you say that again?
So what I said was, it's either you care enough that you want people, like you're willing to pay for people's housing to help them get housed, or you want them to die on the street. It's just those two things. It's like, because we do, you know, we don't want to, you know, a whole lot of things like, well, why should we pay for their mistake, or why should we pay for their things? Like, that's not the point. The point is, if everybody has a place to live, everybody has a place to stay clean, safe, place to eat, that helps the entire community. It's not a, oh, this only this one person gets help from this. No, the whole community gets another engaged member of their, you know, their society, which is great. You want people to be able to do things that they love to help around, like help people. And it's like, I can't, if that person is homeless, they have no, their only thing they're thinking about is getting something to eat. And maybe if I can get to a shelter, having a roof over my head. Like, but that means that person can't do anything else with their time. So it's like, there's so many other things, so many other, you know, that's why when people say, oh, you know, why should we help other people? It's like, because that means you get more productive and happier citizens. That means you, your society, your community is better just that way. And you're not stepping over, you know, homeless people on the street and then want to denigrate them. It's like, what? But then you don't want to do anything to help them. Makes very little sense to me.
Yeah, I think you talked about myth number 5, but 6 and 7 and 8 are all so similar too, of they prefer the freedom of life on the street. They spend all their money on drugs and alcohol and they just need to get a job. All of those are so untrue. If you gave people the choice of you can have a house or you can sleep on the street, who in the world is going to choose to live on the street? Unless there's a list of all these requirements of you have to do X, Y, and Z that are just impossible for you. Nobody's going to choose to live on the street. And most of the money goes to buying food, socks, hygiene products, water, and maybe some of it's alcohol and drugs, but like, so do you. Who does not go to a bar and spend $7 on a pint of beer? Can you really give them a hard time for buying any alcohol for themselves? We all do it.
It's like, yeah, like you go down to a nice bar and you're going to spend $10 for that, like Jack and Coke. That's tiny. It's not going to, it's like, that's might not even be like, properly, you know, it might be watered down anyway. It's like, you know, it's,
yeah. Ooh, and also myth 1 and 2, I really appreciated that they made these 1 and 2, because I was like, yes, these are the ones I hear the most of. Most are mentally ill, which is not true. It's what did they say, 1/3 at most have a serious mental illness, and then the majority abuse drugs and alcohol, which again, even if that were the case, we created the opioid epidemic. How are we to blame them when we created this chaos? Like, it's not their fault. Those are really, really hard drugs. The ones that are keeping them there, you can't blame them for that. But even that, 20, this says only 20 to 40% of people who are homeless have a substance abuse issue.
Read the next line.
In fact, abuse is rarely the sole cause of homelessness and more often is a response to it when living on the streets puts the person in frequent contact with users and dealers.
That's the key. It's like, not only are people typically not drug abusers, but being on the street puts you in contact with people who are more likely to want to take advantage of you.
And again, if your situation is I'm fighting for my life every single day and somebody has promised me a little bit of relief if I take this drug, people do it in their own homes.
And when they do have a roof over their heads, right?
Yeah. Like, I'm not saying it's right, but to me, it makes sense. And I'm like, okay, even if that was the case, who are you to judge? You cannot. I hear people all the time will intentionally not walk through certain parts of the park and will not go certain places because they're like, oh, there's too many homeless people there. I don't want to go there. And I'm like, one, they're people like you. Two, if you let them have that space and don't use it, then there's no eyes on the street. There's nobody, no strangers to keep it safe. Like, you leaving it doesn't make it safer. You not going does not make it safer. You going actually makes it a safer place to go. Yeah, that was from Jane Jacobs. The Life and Death of Great American Cities. Yeah, that was a good book. It was a long book. It was a good book. And it was not actually specifically about people experiencing homelessness. It was just about keeping places safe, adding lights, and kicking out the vagrants does not make a place safe. Having people use that space does.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. Then number 12 is a big one too, that low rental housing vacancy rates make it impossible to find enough places for people to live. And when they studied New York, they're like, there are approximately 79,000 vacant homes, rental places. And that city has approximately 61,000 homeless in the city. So we're looking at a surplus of 18,000 places for people to stay. It's like, saying that there's not enough space is just not, it's nonsense. It makes no sense. It's like, no, that's not the case. Is that we don't want to do the work to help these people, like, that need help. People who want it better still. Like, it's not even like a, oh, they don't even want it. That's full face palm. That's all.
That was deserving of a face palm. What was I going to say? Oh, I want to look at the numbers for specifically my little town, because I know I've looked at how many vacant homes, but it's not just vacant, how many derelict homes there are. So it's like boarded up empty houses. But I don't remember what the vacancy rate is for my city versus how many people are experiencing homelessness. So I should look into that. But the housing first model, I've been pushing this housing first model every time I get a chance, because I'm like, I don't understand why we don't do this. This, I don't remember the history of it, but it started somewhere in Europe, I believe. And the idea is give people a house and then take care of all the issues that they have. So if they need a job, first get them a house, then get them a job. If they need help getting off of whatever drugs they're addicted to, get them a house, then get them the help for their rehab, whatever they need. If they, yeah, whatever issue you are believing is the cause of their homelessness, get them a house first, then work on whatever other symptoms. Fixing symptoms does not fix the problem. So that's the housing first model. And they actually have done a bunch of studies that show it's cheaper for communities to pay for people to have housing than to pay for all the emergency services that go along with it, which is absurd. And it's like thousands of dollars. So in this article about it on endhomelessness.org, that says, people are less likely to use emergency services, including hospitals, jails, and emergency shelter than those who are homeless, people who are housed. One study found an average cost on emergency services of $31,544 per person in a Housing First program over the course of 2 years. 2 years. They saved almost $32,000 for one person. And then another study showed $23,000 less per person per year than a shelter program costs. Because for a shelter program, you have to cost for the staff that are there. Mm-hmm. All night, all day, all the programs you have to pay for, all the licensing you have to pay for, staff to like run the whole program, the food and all the other things that come along with it. And then you're not encouraging these people to become productive members of society. You're just saying, we'll give you a place to sleep for the night. But these programs are like, after however much time that we think you need, then you're on your own, and then you can start giving back. Okay, I think we talked about everything. Are we missing anything?
I think so. I think we did a pretty good coverage of it, yeah. So the nice part that we're seeing when you look at all the charts that are tracking this is that the number is going down since 2007, when we, you know, right before the recession and all the craziness that happened with that. But there's so much more work to do. There's still 500,000 Americans that don't have anywhere to live on a, you know, a daily basis. Still too many. Still way too many.
And we didn't even talk about how that's going to change with 2020.
Yep.
There's been a lot of reports of people expect the rate of homelessness to go up
jump.
Mm-hmm. by a lot. So all the work that's been done may be kind of push backwards with COVID, which is disappointing, but it's also like, this is an opportunity to start over.
Yep.
What were we doing wrong? How can we make this better? How can we fix it now?
Yep. Cause we have a shot.
The point of all of this is just to say, people are people. Remember that they're people. Whoever you encounter in all of your days, treat them like humans with a story and we'll be better off. So I hope that helped with maybe breaking the stigma around homelessness. And if you ever find yourself in a situation where you need help, I hope you can reach out to family. If you can't, I hope you know where you can find resources, because it varies by state, which is frustrating, but also understandable because that's the way the world works. And we're going to share all of these articles that we talked about, maybe a couple extra. And if you guys have anything to say, we'd love to talk to you more about it, because like I said, this is one of those things that makes me so angry. I could talk about it nonstop. Good talking to you guys. We hope to hear from you soon, and we'll be back with more.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.